welcome to this conference call, and Roland, please begin the call, and I'll be standing by for the question answer session.
Thanks, operator. Good afternoon and good morning, everyone. Welcome to Sino-American Silicon Products Inc. fourth quarter 2020 earnings conference call. I'm Roland Xu, Citigroup Semiconductor Analyst and your host today. Together with me are Doris Xu, the Chairperson and the CEO of SAS, and C.W. Lee, the Vice President and Spokesman of the company. We will start the call by C.W. for the introduction, followed by the executive summary by Doris, and then review the fourth quarter result by C.W. We will then open the line to callers for questions and answers by Doris. Without further ado, I'm turning the call to Mr. C.W. For the introduction. C.W., please go ahead.
Thank you, Rora. Hello, everyone. Welcome for joining SAS 2020 earnings conference call. I'm C.W. Lee, SAS Vice President as well as company spokesman. We also have Doris Xu, Chairperson and CEO of SAS in this call. Doris will give us the executive comments later. And then I will present industry overview and 2020 whole year financial performance. A final Q&A session will be hosted by Doris as well. For today's presentation file, we have uploaded on to our website. If you do not have the file on hand, please access our website for the most updated file. Please note that some information during our discussion today will consist of forward-looking statements, which are applied throughout the call and this presentation. These are subject to significant risk and uncertainties. Actual results or trends could differ materially from our forecast. Please refer to the safe harbor notice in our presentation, page 1, disclaimer. Now I would like to turn the call over to Doris for page 2 to page 3 executive comments, and I will report you our 2020 operational performance later. Doris, please.
Okay, thank you, CW. Good afternoon, good day, everyone. Thank you very much for joining us for SAS 2020 Financial Results Conference Call. 2020 was not an easy year. Despite of a lot of unprecedented challenges, such as COVID-19, FX fluctuation, and a lot of challenges, SAS successfully made 2020 a record-breaking year for SAS. Our revenue in 2020 was the third best revenue in SAS history, and SAS achieved all-time best on almost all of the index, including gross profit, EBITDA, operating profit, profit before tax, net income, and what's more meaningful is the best ever EPS since foundation. I think after so many years effort, finally SAS now successfully resume a more profitable and healthier financial performance. In 2020, GWC's revenue accounts for around 90% of SAS consolidated revenue. And the balance 10% of SAS consolidated revenue is from our solar BU and electricity income from all of our PV power plants, which we built and own in Taiwan, Malaysia, and other areas of the world. Here I would like to share some outcome of our for 2021. Worldwide renewable energy market is expected to scale up, underpinned by RE100 members and also their supply chain's commitment in clean energy. With reduced cost dollar per watt and policy support in many countries, solar energy is likely to occupy a major share in total renewable energy expansion in the world. With business transformation plan and strategic reinvestment in semiconductor industry, I think SES, we do expect further growth in the next several years, not only in the growing solar business, but also in semiconductor industry. Next, I would like to share some update of GlobalWafers 2020 overall performance. Could you please turn to the next page? Please find, you may find our semiconductor business performance on this page, and that's of course for from GWC GlobalWafers. First of all, I would like to make a very quick update about the tender offer GWC made to Siltronic. GWC has achieved an acceptance level of 70.27%, successfully achieving well above its offer minimum acceptance threshold, which was 50%. GWC is continuing to progress on track with the regulatory clearance process and have already obtained German antitrust approval on February 9th, 2021. And US FDI CFIUS clearance on March 3rd, 2021. And the latest, we also received Austria antitrust approval on March 8th, 2021. I will provide more details of this project, this transaction, at the Q&A section later on. Now, back to overall GWC business update. Same as most of the companies, GWC encountered quite a lot of unprecedented challenges in 2020. However, regardless of all of those headwinds, GWC did manage to achieve sequential growth quarter by quarter in the past four quarters of the whole 2020. GWC 2020 revenue in US dollar is 4.7% lower than 2019's revenue in US in NT dollar, but more than 70% of GWC revenue is in US dollar. So if we use US dollar to compare the revenue, then year 2020's revenue is almost same as 2019, which is just about 0.2%, slightly lower than 2019's revenue. 2020 is GWC's third best year in history on revenue, gross margin, EBITDA, operating income, and also EPS. GWC 2020 EBITDA is as high as 39.7% of its revenue, and its net profit accounts for 23.7% of the revenue. So both of these two indices are GWC's all-time best performance. Now next, I would like to share a little bit about semiconductor outlook, GWC's outlook. Most of the headwinds experienced in 2020 are not over yet. We are still suffering from COVID-19, high freight, long lead time of transportation, trade tensions, and very volatile FX rates. These are all still in the market. However, a lot of government stimulus package, vaccination deployment, these may bring surge in consumer device spending in developed countries. Digital transformation is still in the early stage. Remote working, learning, and the migration to online activities and cloud services will continue even post COVID-19. 5G is again a very important driving force for the growth of semiconductor industry. Trade disputes and COVID-19 did have a negative impact on the worldwide progress of 5G, but it's expected that it will be accelerated further in 2021. So in general, the worldwide semiconductor market in 2021 will remain pretty healthy and positive. So this is our outlook of our semiconductor industry. expect the overall 5G, I think semiconductor will be remaining very strong this year. That's GWC overall outlook for 2021. I would like to conclude my presentation here, and later on CW will share more details of both SES and GWC for both companies' 2020 overall performance, and also CW will share 2021 overall market overview with you later on. Thank you very much for your time. CW, please.
Thanks, Doris. Let me continue the presentation. Please turn to page 4, company group structure. This is SES Group company structure. SES now is a diversified business group consisting of solar, semiconductor, sapphire, as well as a strategic business like a specialty gas, semiconductor business, etc. On the left-hand side is solar business group. We have Aleo, SS Sunrise, SPW, CellFab here, covering module, cell product, and power plant investment. On the right-hand side is the semiconductor business group, including GlobalWafers own 51.17% for semiconductor wafer products, Taiwan Specialty Chemical own 30.93% for specialty gas, disilane, trisilane, etc. Crystalwise own 41.94% for sapphire. Also new products, LTLN, are under development. AWSC own 22.53%, Gallium Arsenic Foundry House. Extron own 21.31%, is an automotive diode IC manufacturer. The strengths from this partnership are the cost-effective and reliable mainstream manufacturing process technology, broad technologies and extensive experience in traditional semiconductor IC, wireless, and optoelectronics, automotive applications, etc. And the synergy will be collaboration in developing silicon compound materials to quickly supply 5G, electric vehicle, and other high-frequency and high-power products. Construct a competitive compound semiconductor industry chain in Taiwan. Also to expand operation scale and improve operation performance. And of course, downstream customer feedback received from partner also favorable for GWC to fine-tune upstream substrate development. On page 5 is market cap analysis. Based on March 17th stock price, SES current market value trades at 47 discount compared to the sum of its stack of reinvestment companies, which makes SES a worthy option to participate in the future growth of promising business. On page 6, it shows revenue trend. As you can see, our revenue from GlobalWafers semiconductor business has contributed to 90% to SES revenue in 2020. Semiconductor business growth is faster and stable than solar business. Semiconductor share increased a lot from 57% in 2014 to 90% in 2020, and definitely will grow again. Next is the industry overview. Please refer page 8 to page 12. On page 8, this slide shows renewable electricity demand forecast is estimated with potential 22.86 terawatt hour in Taiwan in 2025, covering not only RE100 member, but also their suppliers. On page 9, this slide shows nations committed to carbon neutrality with a cost reduction and policy support. it is expected to drive strong growth beyond 2022. Average annual solar PV capacity additions 130 gigawatt to 165 gigawatt during 2023 to 2025. Share 60% of total renewable energy expansion. On page 10, this slide shows total installed power capacity from 2019 to 2025. By 2025, the share of renewables in total electricity generation is expected to be 33%, which is surpassing the coal-fired generation. On page 11, based on IEA research, in order to reach net zero emissions by 2050, the share of renewable energy would rise from 27% in 2019 to 60% in 2030, and solar PV will expand from 110 gigawatt to nearly 500 gigawatt in 2030. On page 12, follow previous page analysis, solar energy plays a critical role, will have 4,149 terawatt-hour to 7,471 terawatt-hour additional generation from 2019 to 2040. Now, let's move to 2020 financial results. Please turn to page 14. As you can see, SAS financial structure is healthy with promising future via reinvestment on strategic business. On 2020, whole year revenue reached to NT$61.4 billion, the third best record. Also, all-time high record in many aspects, including gross profit, EBITDA, operating profit, pre-tax profit, net profit, and EPS. 2020 whole year EPS was NT$10.82, all-time high record. On page 15, this page shows comparison of 2020 versus 2019. Although revenue reduced 6.3% due to impact of exchange rate and the pandemic, but other aspects such as EBITDA, EBIT, operating profit, net profit, EPS, ROE, and ROA all show big growth. Page 16 to page 20 are the summary trend of revenue, gross profit, operating profit, net profit, and EPS. The results show big improvement in past 4 to 5 years. We continue to seek further improvement. On page 20 is EPS trend. You can see 2020's amount NT$10.82 is almost 19 times compared with 2013's amount. Page 21 to 22 a brief income statement and the balance sheet. As of end in 2020, cash is NT$23.8 billion. Inventory stay at the low level as NT$7.9 billion. Shareholder equity is NT$49.7 billion. Pretty healthy financial structure. Page 24 to 29 are ESG highlights. SAS aims at being at the forefront of global responsibility in the aspects of environment, health, and safety and corporate governance. On page 24, SAS achieved to use recycled water 50% in 2019. Total water withdrawal quantity reduced from 1,312 cubic kilometer in 2017 to 502 cubic kilometer in 2019. On page 25, energy management on left hand side chart, you can see SAS accumulated installation for grid-connected capacity reached to 125 megawatt in 2020. Total CO2 emission reduced 53,000 tons in 2020. On right-hand side graph is the electricity needed for generating NT$100 million. It shows a reducing trend as well. 2020's record 1,205 megawatt hour. Page 26 is the committed to green energy. In 2020, SAS reached 30 megawatt solar projects installation, could generate 15 million kilowatt hour electricity per year, equivalent to 7,676 tons of CO2 emissions reduction and 698,000 trees. Page 27 shows SAS adopts circular system to reduce costs and the environment impact. 92.4% of waste can be reused and regenerated as ingredients by other industries. SAS awarded the Excellence Award from year 2020, Outstanding Enterprise Award for Waste Reduction and the Circular Economy. On page 28 are charity and the environment protection activities, an example on November 2020. Page 30 are GWC 2020 performance update, in which you will find the solid performance of 2020's result, the third best year record, including revenue, gross margin, EBITDA, operating profit, net profit, and EPS, all-time high record in EBITDA percentage and net profit percentage as well. As of end in 2020, GWC has sufficient cash on hand, NT$28 billion, equal to US$989 million. Prepayment amount is NT$16.7 billion, which equal to US$589 million. On page 31 is the development of takeover offer for Siltronic, initial announcement on November 30, 2020. As of today, GlobalWafers has achieved a final acceptance rate of 70.2%, confirmed approval from German antitrust on February 9, US FDI on March 3, Austria antitrust on March 9. We expect to complete takeover offer whole process in second half this year. On page 32 to page 34 are GlobalWafers financial highlight. Comparison of 2020 versus 2019. Income statement. Balance sheet. The performance is very good and promising. Above contents is my presentation. Thank you. Next, I would like to hand over to Doris for Q&A session. Doris, please.
Hi, thank you very much, CW. That's our presentation today. We will open the Q&A section shortly. But before we open the Q&A section, I would like to share just a couple of quick update of the GWC transaction, the status of our transaction, and also GWC outlook. So I'm going to share only very few of the highlights of the questions we were asked in the past 2 weeks from multiple parties, including media analysts and some shareholders. So let me quickly share some update of GWC transaction, meaning that the taking over of Siltronic. The first question we were asked is about what's the expected closing date and any updates or change on the expected timing? Our answer to this question is that we are continuing to progress on track with the regulatory clearance process, and we have already obtained 3 countries of the clearance, as I presented and also Cito presented earlier. So that's our status now. And next question is about that based on the final acceptance level, which is 70.27%. What would be the impact on leverage versus our current leverage? Our post-settlement, based on final number of shares tendered into our deal, post-settlement, our net leverage is expected to be manageable, which we think that we will be able to pay down very rapidly based on the strong internal cash flow generation. So we'll also, in addition to pay down the leverage by our operation cash flow generation, we also have some other options to explore a number of financing alternatives, which we can further accelerate the deleveraging, or to target our optimal long-term capital structure, if we choose to do so. So basically, financing issue, I think we will be able to manage quite well. So this is the second question I would like to share. And another question about semiconductor industry, which were asked by multiple parties, is that to GWC, is that what are your thoughts on the overall industry demand recovery timeline? This is a tough question, but pretty important, so I would like to share with everyone as well. I think that 2021 will continue to be a pretty challenging with geopolitical issues and also global economic developments, such as the trade dispute between some countries in some regions. It is also pretty difficult to predict that how all of these challenges, such as the trade dispute and also COVID-19, how will this situation develop, and how the FX fluctuation will develop. So it's still very hard to predict up to today. NT dollar and quite a lot of Asian currencies are still very strong versus US dollars. All of these are challenging for us. However, we do expect that customer inventories will have less of a negative impact on the demand development in 2021 than it was the case at the beginning of 2020. And also some mega trends like 5G, AI, EV, digitalization, these will be the main drivers for the whole semiconductor industry, not only this year but also the next several years. So signs in these areas point to a positive, very positive environment in 2021. So we think that the wafer demand this year is high, and our production loading is good as well. We expect that the demand will continue to grow this year in 2021. So that's some FAQs I would like to share with everyone today. That's all I want to share, and now we are open to have Q&A, please.
Thanks a lot for the detailed update from Doris and the GW. We are now ready to open the line for questions. Operator, please guide our callers how to raise the question.
And ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on the telephone keypad. Our first question is come from Donnie with Nomura. And Donnie, please go ahead.
Good afternoon, Chair Lady and CW. Thank you for taking my question. My first question is regarding to solar business outlook. I calculated that our gross margin from solar business 2020 has returned to around 9%, 10% level. I think that was a huge improvement from 2019. So just curious if you have any guidance regarding to our solar business gross margin in 2021. And also, in recent days, as you have seen, that the polysilicon price is increasing. So just curious if there is any impact to our gross margin in 2021. How should we handle this rising material cost? And when entering into 2022, do you think that the price of polysilicon will start to decline due to rising supply? Thank you.
Thank you very much for your question, Johnny. That's a very important but tough question for us. First of all, you are right that our solar BU gross margin have been improved to somewhere around 10% last year, which was much better than the previous several years. We think that the situation will keep improving this year because of some positive factors such as Joe Biden administration, their policies more pro clean energy in the U.S. And you know that last month there were quite a lot of extreme weather, a lot of damages caused by extreme weather in America and Europe. So all of those weather crisis, climate crisis, did remind the people, especially the governments, to provide more incentive for renewable energy. So we believe that from demand's viewpoint, I think renewable energy worldwide, renewable energy market is growing. The demand will be increasing even this year. This is what we're seeing. Unfortunately, it's hard to predict the gross margin for now because there are three very important negative impact this year. Number one is freight. We are experiencing very challenging freight right now. It's not only very high freight, but also the transportation lead time is getting much longer than before. You know that in the past, polysilicon or this kind of very bulky material, we always use sea freight, but now due to the lead time issue for some this kind of super heavy, super bulky stuff, we even have to make the shipment by air. So those are this freight increase. This is one very critical burden for us. But of course, we don't know that how long this kind of situation will be lasting. But this is the first challenge, that is a much higher freight and much longer transportation lead time. And the second critical issue for us is FX. You know that in solar market, most of the transaction is in US dollar. Even our transaction in Taiwan, the quotation is based on US dollar as well. Unfortunately, US dollar is pretty weak starting from last year. So can we keep the revenue like last year or even make the 2021 gross margin better than last year? I think FX plays a very important role on this one. Our operation currency is NT dollar. We pay NT dollar salary, we pay electricity costs, we pay a lot of costs expenses in NT dollar. Unfortunately, most of our revenue is in US dollar. So this is the second challenging for us. And also, again, same as the freight, we don't know that how long this kind of super strong Asian currency, this kind of exchange rate will be lasting. This is our second challenge. And the third one is what you just mentioned, polysilicon. This was totally out of our expectation. We Last year there was a blast in China, a polysilicon plant accident in China. So that was why last year, for a short period of time, polysilicon price was extremely high last year. But then the price came down back to the normal track, but just several months later, it came up again. So right now, polysilicon price is extremely high. And that is our raw material. So because of super high polysilicon price, now our mono wafer price is very expensive as well. Can we keep our gross margin like last year? I think a very important a very important factor here is that can we pass down the cost increase from transportation and high polysilicon? Can we pass down to our sale price or module price or not? We are still working on this, and it's still too early to comment that if that polysilicon cost up will affect our gross margin or not this year. So for now, these three are strong headwinds for us. We are working on this, but I would forecast that this year, I think for renewable energy revenue wise, shouldn't be a problem. I think we see strong demand from the market, and also a lot of new technology like M6, M10, bigger cell and higher efficiency. A lot of new technology will be launched to the market this year. So some positive factors and some low lights as well, like what I just explained. So I think it will be, to sum up 2021 revenue-wise, solar revenue-wise will be good because of the global strong demand. But bottom line wise, I would say that it would be maybe pretty much close to last year. If we are talking about SAS last year overall EPS, which was our all-time high 10.82, I think that is a very good number. We believe that 2021 SAS, our goal is try to keep our, not only our top line but also bottom line, we try to keep it flat or better than last year. That's our goal. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair Lady. Do you have any view on the potential polysilicon supply into 2022? Because I heard some of the China polysilicon companies are expanding capacity maybe by first quarter 2022.
Mm.
So theoretically speaking, the polysilicon price should start to decline sometime, maybe
yes,
entering into end of this year.
That's our view.
I'm not sure whether.
Sorry,
okay.
Please continue. Please, sorry about that.
No worries. Yeah. So I'm expecting that the polysilicon price should be declining next year, right? So theoretically speaking, it should be helpful for our gross margin to 2022, direction-wise.
Yes, that is our view as well. Sorry, I think that was your third question, but I forgot to answer. I missed this question earlier. Yeah, so let me comment on this one, polysilicon price. Polysilicon price right now is very expensive, but I think that there are some capacities expansions ongoing right now, so there will be a little bit more supply in the next several quarters. So I think that the price will be stabilized or will be coming down a little bit in the next maybe end of 2021 or early 2022. But there is another factor maybe will affect this price trend a little bit. That is the strong demand of solar and semiconductors polysilicon demand. You know, most of the fab, most of the poly solar, no, I mean most of the polysilicon fab can produce both solar and semiconductor polysilicon. Of course, the process for a semiconductor will be much longer and much more expensive than solar, but most of the fabs can produce both. So solar capacity definitely will increase in the next several quarters, but semiconductor demand will increase as well. Solar demand will increase as well. So I think it's very hard to predict, but I think that I don't know that how much new polysilicon capacity, new expansion capacity will be launched to the market and how soon the capacity will be available. So it's very hard to predict that. Direction-wise, I think polysilicon price definitely will go down. But the problem is that I don't know that will we see a lower polysilicon price from second half this year or early next year. It's a little bit hard to predict. Some other factor from semiconductor strong polysilicon demand, that this factor will be part of the factor to affect the pricing trend of semiconductor of the polysilicon trend as well.
Sorry, Charlie, just a quick follow up. I thought most of the China polysilicon suppliers cannot effectively produce semiconductor grade polysilicon, but the new capacity are mostly expanded by China polysilicon suppliers. So I guess probably your concern may be a little bit overdone. I'm not pretty sure.
Donnie, you are right that most of China polysilicon suppliers are not really ready for semiconductor polysilicon yet. This is definitely true. For those older or major polysilicon vendors in US, Europe, and Japan, and some other countries, actually, those polysilicon makers, they can produce both semiconductor and solar. So also, it's likely that maybe they will convert some part of their solar polysilicon production lines to semiconductor. So new capacity is supply demand. So new China polysilicon plant, they are expanding aggressively for more solar grade polysilicon. On the other hand, some other countries polysilicon companies, they are converting part of their solar grade polysilicon back to semiconductor grade. But yeah, you are very right that it's a little bit over concerned about this, because that the semiconductor demand is way lower than solar polysilicon demand. So the weight is totally different level, different magnitude. So in direction wise, definitely polysilicon price will go down. That's our view.
Okay, thank you, Charlie. I'll go back to queue.
Thank you.
Thank you. Once again, if anyone wishes to ask a question, please press star 1 on the telephone keypad. And next we have four questions from Donnie. Donnie, please go ahead.
Hey, thank you, Charlie. I think it's my honor to occupy all of your time at the current time point. And another question is regarding to our semi wafer business. So wondering if you could give us some near-term guidance in terms of our semi wafer business sales outlook, maybe in first quarter or in the first half if possible, or maybe I ask in the other way. I saw lots of brokers estimate our semi wafer business sales to grow like below 5% quarter on quarter in the first quarter. But wondering if you could comment on whether this number is reasonable or a little bit too low. Thank you.
I think the company how to say that? I think we have our outlook, but sorry about that. That is our company policy is not to make any specific comment about the price or percent, how many percent we're going to grow. But I think direction wise, I think this year is a healthy, very healthy year. And same as what I explained earlier, that the currency will be another factor. You know, just like what I said, that in year 2020, our revenue was lower than 2019 by 4.7% if we calculate in US in NT dollar, but in US dollar is flat. So currency always play a very important role on revenue and the gross margin. So sorry about that, Donnie. I cannot comment too much detail about the growth.
Yeah, no worries. You mentioned about the overall semi-wafer business acquisition may not be finalized until maybe second half or even later this year. Just wondering if you could kindly give us an idea after the acquisition, what kind of holding percentage that SAS will still have after the acquisition. Are we still the dominant shareholders, or is there anything will be changed after the acquisition? Mm-hmm. And also regarding to dividend policy, do you have any idea that how it will change our policy after the acquisition? Thank you.
Okay. For the Siltronic deal, the whole deal will be finalized in the second half of this year. Everything on track. So this timing-wise, this is still our forecast, our plan. And after the completion of the business combination, GWC will be holding 70.27% of Siltronic. GWC right now owns over 51% of SAS owns GWC over 51%. And I think we are trying to balance the debt and ownership and the dilution a little bit. So I think that GWC will have to, in order to pay down the leverage, GWC maybe will have to do some equity fundraising. That means that maybe some GDR or some equity fundraising. And that definitely will, it's possible that GWC ownership over GWC will be a little bit lower than current ownership. Current ownership is 51%, so maybe this will be a little bit lower than after the combination, after our equity fundraising. I think GWC ownership will come down a little bit, but SAS definitely will be by far the number one shareholder of GWC. This is definitely no doubt, because the dilution will be very minimal. And for the dividend, SAS dividend, SAS 2020 EPS is 10.82. SAS board and shareholder meeting, SAS board hasn't proposed to AGM that was our plan for the dividend payout this year. I mean for 2020 earnings yet. This final number will be the dividend policy, SAS dividend for 2020 will be released on maybe May 6th. Early May, we will have next board meeting, and at that time, SAS board will propose the dividend for 2020. And so far, it's still too early to judge or guess that what would be the number. We have to take into a lot of factors into consideration, including our because for SAS it's very important that to minimize the dilution. So if SAS want to minimize the dilution of the GWC ownership, then maybe SAS have to participate GWC equity fundraising program as well. So if SAS is going to do so, maybe the dividend payout will be a little bit lower this year. But there is no firm plan yet. Even in May this year, I am not sure that how firm our plan will be. But we don't have a firm policy today yet. In May, next board meeting, maybe we will announce this policy, this proposal in May. Hi. So.
Hi.
Yes.
And Chair, maybe one last question from me is: could you kindly give us an idea our future plan regarding to our investment companies? How should we create synergy within SAS Group as well as those investment companies? Could you highlight some progress that we have achieved in 2020 and the possible outlook for our multiple investment companies in the coming 1 to 2 years? Thank you.
Yes, I think I would like to take TSC as an example. Taiwan Specialty Chemical TSC. We invested TSC 2.5 years ago. And right now, TSC overall performance is very good. And because of the support from SAS Group, now TSC has already been qualified by quite a lot of global tier one semiconductor customers, which many of them, or almost all of them, are GWC's existing major customers right now. So that is an example of so-called synergy. And AWSC as well, RF, that's totally different business, and they are a compound foundry. They are performing very well as well, and we are providing our support on the materials supply, and also from a lot of management skill, overall management leverage as well. So with our support and close cooperation with these kind of reinvested companies, I think that would be very helpful for GWC overall. We can shorten our R&D, some new project R&D schedule. That is a very important, intangible, but very important for us to shorten our R&D lead time as well. Time to market will be improved as well. That will be very important, and also very good for AWSC as well. And for Extron, that's another company we invested, an automotive company. They will start their silicon carbide business very soon, and definitely we will work with them. And also because of working together with GWC and Extron, working together with GWC, so they get a lot of support from GWC to secure the wafer supply. And also from SAS's standpoint, we get their benefit from their EPS, and overall their we secure business and we get their dividend as well. So in general, you will see this kind of synergy increase very rapidly in the next several years. Most of these companies, except TSC, most of these companies are listed companies. So I apologize that many of the contents should be disclosed by them, so I cannot disclose too many details of the potential synergies.
No problem. Thank you, Chair Lady and CW.
Right, thank you very much, Donnie. I think we are pretty much running out of time, and CW would like to share some solar questions we received from the analysts in the past 2 weeks.
Yes,
CW, please.
Yes, I have received some questions. First one is related to investment companies. First one, they are asking about, will you consider to consolidate some of our investment companies? Financial numbers in the future. If yes, which investment company would be more likely? And which related to the other question is what kind of companies SAS will consider to invest in the future? Okay, so next one is... So the reply to this question is... For the first question, yes, we do, but no concrete schedule yet for a consolidated plan. And for what kind of company will consider investing in the future? We are aiming company who has potential to grow further or could have good synergy with our company. So from product development or technical profit improvement, as a viewpoint. But so far, we don't have the concrete target yet. So, and the other question is SAS market value has discount. How do you create SAS value to cover the undervalue? For this one, SAS the reply to answer to this question is SAS has conducted a transformation plan through reinvestment to improve organization structure. So in the meantime, to develop new products to meet market demand. Quality improvement, cost down policy too. And also a question is, do you have any plan to buy back company stock? The answer to this question is no, we don't have buyback plan at this moment. The other question is, what is your future plan for solar, SAS solar business? Will you shrink or make further expansion? Any other new product or new business plan? Well, okay. For this, SAS will seize the opportunity for renewable energy. Taiwan needs renewable energy. SAS aims to provide total solution for energy saving, energy storage, and energy creation. So we are considering for the some new product as well.
Okay. So let me add a little bit more color of these questions. The first one we've been asked by so many different parties about that, what are the companies that you are going to reinvest? I think I can make it a little bit more clear is that we invest our target companies are semiconductor related, so we want to invest in semiconductor supply chain. So it doesn't have to be a wafer company, it doesn't have to be a silicon company, it can be a compound, it can be a chemical company, but we hope that it has to be in the whole semiconductor supply chain. The reason we want to focus on the reinvestment for the semiconductor supply chain is because semiconductor business is one of our core competence, the whole group's core competence. So we cannot do much leverage if it's outside the semiconductor industry. But if it's in the semiconductor industry, you know that semiconductor industry is a small world. So as long as our investment is in semiconductor industry, it will be easier for us to give them more support to improve, to get the improvement on overall performance. So that is why we focus on the semiconductor industry. Doesn't have to be material. It can be upstream, it can be downstream. This is for our reinvestment. And also for our future solar strategy. We've been asked by so many parties talking about that, hey Doris, are you going to shut down your solar business, focus on semiconductor, or are you going to expand your solar business and make it number one in Taiwan? The answer here is that no, we are not going to shut down our solar business. No, we will keep working on solar business. We even want to expand our solar, or I will put it this way, that we want to expand our renewable energy business, but we have to change what we're doing. In the past 40 years, SAS is such a hardware or material company, but we want to change our solar strategy to make it a little bit more downstream in the supply chain. That means that we don't want to be a wafer or sales supplier only. We want to be a more total solution provider. So our solar strategy is that either we grow our own business, or we buy and we invest in another company. But the whole direction is go downstream. So we will build more solar power plant. We will have more O&M for the Taiwan solar power plant. And also we will try to be a renewable energy supplier provider to the market. When we are talking about as a renewable energy provider, it doesn't have to be solar power. It can be some other kind of renewable solar power. So that's our plan. So far, we have plan, we have schedule, we have target, but it's too early to disclose the details to everyone. So thank you very much for your time today. These are the questions we received in the past past two weeks for the earnings call. So we just take the chance to share those questions and answer with everyone. Thank you very much for your time today.